This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 3rd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The NFA and the NIBA announced a joint webinar, Navigating Regulatory Requirements in a Hybrid Environment, to be held on Thursday, September 23rd at 3:30 p.m. Central Time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The webinar discusses recent regulatory developments in relation to current hybrid and remote work environments. During the webinar, representatives from the NFA and the NIBA will discuss, among other things, preparing for a virtual NFA examination, supervising employees in a hybrid or remote work environment, and changes to the definition of a branch office. Representatives will also respond to questions submitted by attendees. There is no charge to attend the webinar, however, registration is required. There's a link in today's newsletter for more information and to register. Sarah Heutzma was promoted to the Director of HR and Recruiting at XR Trading. She replaces Kimberly Kolb, who earlier this week announced she joins FIRA as Chief Human Resources Officer. In honor of the people using ivermectin, a horse medicine, to fight COVID-19, I thought I would offer these three bad horse medicine jokes. Did you hear about the man who was hospitalized with six plastic horses inside him? The doctor described his condition as stable. Question: what did the horse say when it fell? Answer: I've fallen and I can't giddy up. A horse sits down in a movie theater and the woman next to him asks, "Excuse me, are you a horse?" "Why, yes, I am," replies the horse. She asks, "What are you doing at this movie?" The horse says, "I really like the book." There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. With a focus on the S in ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance, the Morningstar Women's Empowerment Index has outperformed the broad U.S. equity market in 2021, at least for now. The index, which provides exposure to leading U.S. companies that have strong gender diversity policies, rose 21.5% in 2021 as of August 27th, compared with a 20.2% return for the Morningstar U.S. Market Index. A link to a Morningstar report on the index is in today's newsletter. The CBOE Options Institute is hosting a 7-part back-to-school series this fall, led by adjunct OI faculty members Shelley Nattenberg and David Silber. The sessions explore options pricing models, volatility, and volatility strategies. The first one is September 14th. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the Wall Street Journal, Biden's White House favors Emory's Kristen Johnson for CFTC site. The Biden administration plans to select Kristen Johnson, a law professor who previously worked on Wall Street, for a Democratic seat on the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, according to a person familiar with the matter. My comment here's from LinkedIn. Kristen Johnson is a law professor, scholar, and author. She is an internationally recognized expert for her scholarship and policy proposals on fintech, financial market risk management, corporate law, capital, commodities, and credit market oversight. Her recent scholarship and policy advocacy examines the implications of emerging innovative technologies, including digital asset class ecosystems, distributed digital ledger technologies commonly described as blockchain-based, e.g. cryptocurrencies, and artificial intelligence technologies that facilitate commercial and consumer financial transactions, transfers, and assessments, such as digital payment platforms and banking services. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Japan's Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga to resign after failing to control COVID outbreak. Tokyo stocks hit 30-year high as investors bet next leader will increase economic stimulus. Yoshida Suga will step down as Japanese Prime Minister after just a year in office, risking a return to the short-lived premierships that once characterized the country's politics. Suga, whose popularity plummeted after he failed to rein in the COVID-19 outbreak, announced on Friday he would not seek re-election in this month's leadership race for the ruling Liberal Democratic Party. The winner of that contest will lead the party into a general election that must be held by November 30th. My comment, leadership has its consequences. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Naming your company. Here's what to know. Research suggests there are certain rules to follow. Among them, don't be too cute. There's so much to do before you start your own company. You have to develop a business plan. You have to find financing. Oh, and you have to give it a name. Consider that roughly 627,000 businesses open every year in the U.S., according to a Small Business Administration estimate. That is a lot of new names. How to make your company name stand out, or at least be remembered among so much competition. My comment, the story says, it's okay to name your company after yourself. Naming a company after yourself might seem like an indication of an inflated ego, but it can be a sign of confidence. We do know that the kind of person who names a company after themselves tends to be a good founder, says Aaron Ronnie Chatterjee, a Duke University business professor, adding, the sort of person who is willing to tie their name and their personal reputation to a business is more likely to succeed. In a study of 1.8 million European small businesses between 2002 and 2012, Dr. Chatterjee found the eponymous companies had a return on assets about 3 percentage points higher than other firms. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Fast Company's qualities that will make you a more innovative employee. It turns out the number one quality that will make you more innovative, a more innovative employee, is innovativeness. Who'd have thunk? Second was U.S. had fought COVID like Denmark did, hundreds of thousands of Americans would be alive. An opinion piece from the Miami Herald. In Denmark, 72% of the people have already been fully vaccinated, as opposed to 51% in the United States, the article says. And third was what Gary Gensler really meant with his order flow remarks. An opinion piece from Bloomberg. It turns out that Robinhood may not be in trouble. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.